Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Sean Ferris is here tonight from Life as We Know It. Poor Sean had to sit here and just hear me scream for only about 4.5 minutes.
That was all right. It was entertaining.
Adam, the deal is, I don't know any guest that hasn't had to sit there and listen to you rant before the show starts. Usually, you're here 30 seconds before the show starts.
I know.
So they only hear 30 seconds. Tonight, you were here 4.5 minutes before the show started. So
I know. Because
Sean had to hear all 4.5 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I got here super early tonight, Sean.
But it's very productive 4.5 minutes, wouldn't you say? We got a lot to talk about the show.
You got through quite a bit. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I covered a lot of ground. I mean, we got a lot of material out there. I don't know if we worked out some of the beats of tonight's show. We got into some tomorrow night. Drew got the dry erase board. We start before every show. There's a show meeting.
By the way, speaking of show meetings, I'm getting intense feedback in my headphones. I know you're getting that.
I'm getting marginal to irritating feedback.
Yeah, our voice muffled a tenth of a second behind.
Really?
A quarter second.
All right.
Just got rid of it.
Wow.
They just stopped it. Thank you, Anderson.
All right. Yeah. All right, Anderson did nothing. It's one of these things, by the way, where people
normally—it's back.
People normally want credit for fixing things, but not in the engineering world because it means you had some potentiometer in the wrong place or some knob that wasn't turned or some switch that
wasn't
thrown.
It might mean you have to move next time. There's a problem. You don't want to have to.
No. It's just 3/4 of the time something goes wrong. It's like, is there anything? Check the board. No. Oh, oop! There we go. About the 26 now. All right, so this is horrible. What should we do? I can do it because I just keep talking.
Yeah, let's go. I can get
all I do is hear my voice anyway.
Yeah, I can hear the echo.
Yeah.
Sean.
Yes.
What's happening, brother man?
Oh, not much. I'm just sitting here listening to your rant and rave.
I'm done. It's now all going to be about you, unless you remind me of something I'm angry about. Life as We Know It, ABC, 8 o'clock. Kelly Osbourne is on that. Who else is on that show besides Kelly?
Quite a few people, actually. John Foster, Chris Lowell. Missy Peregrine plays my girlfriend.
Chris Lowell, but not Christopher Lowell.
No, I call him Chris. I mean, his parents may call him Christopher.
No,
I don't know about that.
Not the bearded guy who's on the Towel Network.
No.
That I discovered when we were on the road. The world's gayest man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Adam found him once when we were in Shreveport or something, and he came with his towel on, running down the hall, demanded I turn my TV on immediately.
Yeah.
To see the gayest man in America.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Then he went to the bathroom, looked in the mirror, and saw the second gayest man in America shaving.
I can do it. You can do it.
There he is.
Yeah.
Look for the areas. Fill that space, all right? The whole idea about creating focal points in your room is keeping your eye trained for those little details. It's those little details that make the home yours.
It's awesome. It's like, you know what I've learned from Christopher Lowell? Mm-hmm. You can spend 2 weeks and $2,200 taking PVC pipe and creating faux bamboo, or you can actually just go buy some real bamboo. That's what I've learned.
Yeah.
Costs 18 cents a linear foot. But taking a little putty, putting it around the thing, then spray painting it beige. And at the end, what do you got?
Bamboo.
Fake bamboo that melts if you put it next to a space heater. All right. Sean.
Yes.
Let's see. What else? What do we got to plug? Smallville. No, these are just shows you've been on.
Nah, you don't need to plug any of that stuff. That's just all the show.
Life as We Know It. Why should our audience go out and watch Life as We Know It? I'm sure most of them do already, but it's small handful that don't. Why should they do it beside you?
Well, it's definitely the most real drama for teenagers on TV today, and probably in the last 5 years. A lot of people have compared the show to My So-Called Life.
Right.
And except for with three guys. And it's a great thing because you get to see what really goes on in the guy's head. You know, we all go through life playing the role and, you know, this and that. But then you never see the insecure sides or the questioning sides or the emotional side. And you get to see that in our show whenever the guys have a private moment to camera.
Did you come out to L.A. when you were 18?
Yep.
How old are you now?
I am 22.
I thought I was going to say 18 and a half. and you came out to act?
Yeah, I moved out to act, and it wasn't an easy ride, but, you know, here I am now.
The actual ride from Ohio to L.A. or actually?
The actual ride from Ohio to L.A. was actually quite fun.
And when you got out here, anything good? Like, did you have, you know, $18 in your pocket? Did you come out here alone? Did you come out with your family?
Actually, my best friend drove across the country with me and then flew back 3 days later because he absolutely hated L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, he didn't. He gave it
a good three-day try.
Yeah, he was from a smaller city, and I think it was a little bit of culture shock for him. But he couldn't take it. It was too much.
Yeah.
And so I bought him a plane ticket.
Like, if you drive from Ohio, how do you even know when you're in L.A.? You just stop at a gas station. Some guys are like, and you're like, huh? I must be in, like, Sri Lanka or something. Like,
it's actually,
then you're in Mexico. Then you're in, like, Japan. Like, how do you even know when you're in Los Angeles?
Whenever you hit the traffic, that's how you know you're in L.A.
Hit the traffic in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It's got to be a culture shock. He was from Ohio. He was from Ohio, too?
Yeah,
now, what's he doing now?
He's still in Ohio, just doing his thing. He's a painter.
Let's get him on the show.
Let's do it.
So you came out 18. You get an apartment. What do you do?
Yeah, I came out. I got an apartment. It was really hard to find an apartment too because no one would rent to me. I had no credit.
Yeah.
I had some money for an apartment, but I didn't have any credit history. I was too young.
Right.
And out of state cosigners because all of my family was from out of California.
Did you get a job?
Actually, I was quite lucky. My first week here, I got a small part in Pearl Harbor.
Oh,
and, yeah.
Oh, wow. You were in Pearl Harbor.
What, yeah.
Wait, which one were you?
I was the one that stood next to everybody in all the big scenes.
You do look familiar.
Ensign number 4.
Yeah, down like out on the tarmac at the airfield and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I was a part of Josh Hartnett's crew.
Okay, guys.
In his airplane, and that was cool.
If anyone ever sees the original Pearl Harbor, maybe it's Tora Tora Tora. Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, the original movie, it's incredible stunts. You ever seen it, Drew?
Tora Tora Tora?
Yeah.
A long time ago.
It's crazy stunts, and you just start to realize as you start watching back then, like 1972, they didn't have strong unions, and there's no, like, OSHA or anything.
There was no liability.
Half the stunts were, I don't know if you saw the original, I think it was Tora Tora Tora,
yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Obviously, someone put a cinder block on the accelerator of some, you know, scrapped P-40 and just let it sail into a pyramid of gas cans. Guys are just running, but stuff's flying.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, look, hang out here until it looks like the plane gets too close. When it gets about 30 feet away, start running.
Well, the whole idea
and is hopefully a barrel, a 55-gallon drum won't hit you.
There was no such thing as CGI.
There was no such thing as CGI. There were no unions, and it's like, look, you want to make $100?
Go.
Come here. Put this uniform on and stand by these barrels, but don't chicken out on us. We can't have you running before the plane's got to get close.
All right, first run this 40. Here you go.
Oh.
Time them out real quick.
4.9, not bad. All right, no movement until you hear metal on metal, or you see flame, or you feel flame. Then you move. You watch that movie, it's all the stuff that's going on in the tarmac. The new one is spectacular as well. When I say new, the three-year-old one is spectacular, but the old one, you see people running and props spinning like flying by and stuff like that. No, they didn't plan that. That's not on a cable or anything. It's just, you know, catch as catch can, as they say. People were expendable back then.
Until that actor got cut in half.
Vic Morrow.
Oh, yeah, that was a helicopter accident, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's when they decided, yeah, it was on Twilight. Mm-hmm. So, All right,
take some calls.
Let's take some calls. Wow, first week you're doing Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, I was pretty lucky, man.
That's not luck.
Wow.
Talent.
He's deal with the devil.
Oh, right.
Sold.
That's doing luck. He sold his soul. So you're just going to Hawaii. So you're in L.A. for a week. You get the gig. And then they shot a lot of it in Hawaii. Pearl Harbor. What do you think? It's in Long Beach?
Well, I didn't figure they'd.
Yeah, come on, quiet down.
Well, actually, they had already started filming. They were like a year into filming whenever I got onto the project.
Really?
Yeah. They shot for 2 years.
Please say you went to Hawaii.
So no, I didn't get to go
to
Hawaii.
Where did they film?
What city?
I shot in Houston, Texas.
Houston.
They shot at the battleship Texas in Houston, and then we also shot in Corpus Christi on the Lexington. It's a huge aircraft carrier. That was dope.
But you weren't? Were you on the airfield?
The airfield. Yeah, we just shot at Van Nuys Airfield here
Van
in California.
Van Nuys had him. Okay.
All right.
You're right, not long.
Hey,
Van Nuys.
Listen, you know, Waimea and Van Nuys, it's like the same
place.
Same place.
Same place, yeah.
Oh.
By the way, how do you know when you're in the airport at Van Nuys? It's all asphalt.
Yeah.
Concrete.
It's true, but it's like, well, I guess some of the shots they had, like, flying over and
stuff
like that.
Yeah, that was fun, man. That was cool, though.
Were you flying?
No, I didn't get to fly with them, but they had flybys where we were, the planes P-40s. Flew over, like, maybe 20 feet above us.
Wow. Yeah.
And that was, and they were saying that that's the only time that they will ever fly again.
Those
so
P-40s.
We were the last
yeah.
ones to ever see those planes up in the air because they pulled them straight out of museums.
On the deck, they call it, Drew. Yeah. On the deck.
Yeah, I was actually a tail gunner in the movie, and I had to play with these broomsticks in the back. Mm. They had fake little broomsticks for me to play
Paint
with.
Paint them black. Yeah. You know who else painted those broomsticks black? A little guy by the name of Doolittle who took those first bombing yeah. over Tokyo.
Well, that was the Doolittle Raiders. That's what we were.
Well, there you go, Drew. You understand, they took bombers off an aircraft carrier like just a year into the war.
Wow.
Maybe not even a year in a war. Do you know this story?
No, I don't know the story.
Everyone should know this story, you pussies.
Tell me.
All right, here's what happens. You stop me if I'm wrong. Okay.
I will.
Okay, the Japs, as we knew them back then, bombed Pearl Harbor.
Right.
We got our fleet wiped out, but of course we got our carriers are out at sea.
Right.
So we save our carriers, but we're in really bad shape. We've not been ramping up for this war at all. Our right. fleet's wiped out. We're pretty bad. We need to do something for morale. We need to strike Japan.
All right.
But we don't really have any way to get to them. So Doolittle, who's a pilot and a commander, and then later on, brigadier general or something. He had an amazing career, this guy. But he gets some B-29s.
Yeah, yeah.
Not B-47 type plane, but like a B-29 or something, like medium-sized bomber. But no one has ever taken them off an aircraft carrier before. The whole aircraft carrier thing is relatively new, yeah. and it's just a smaller fighter planes that could take off. So they do these tests where they lighten them, and they take out the tail guns and stuff, and they put broomsticks in there. So they think the Japs, they think they're guns back there. There's broomsticks in there. They lighten them, and they do these tests to see if they can get off the ground, you know, in 200 feet or whatever they got to work. They figure out they can just do it, but it they don't have enough fuel to get back and stuff. And so they're going to take, like, I don't know, a squadron of these things off just to symbolically drop bombs on Tokyo so we can say to the Americans, yeah. we bombed them now. We
right.
can get to them, even if it wasn't really going to cause any damage. We didn't have enough ammunition, you know, in these little right. planes, and the range wasn't good enough. So they're driving the carrier in the Pacific, and all of a sudden they get spotted. By like some spotter plane or something, and they're 300 miles further out than they need to be before takeoff. But they figure we got to take off now because he's going to radio back. So, but now they're too far. So they take off. They drop their bombs in Japan. They're going to like they have to ditch in like China, and half the guys get like executed, and half the guys make it back. Doolittle makes it, but essentially suicide mission. I mean, wow. probably is someone could do a full length feature on that whole story. Doolittle makes it out. Everyone has to ditch their planes. Everyone runs out of gas. No one's got enough to make it back. And I don't think they could land those B-29s or B-18s or whatever the hell, B-19s, whatever they will, on a carrier anyway. Mm. So they all ditch. Some guys get like executed. Some guys die in the crash. And like half the guys or three quarters of the guys make it out.
Wild.
Am I right, Sean?
It sounds to me like you watched Pearl Harbor right before you came over.
I did.
You watched the History Channel, or Hitler Channel, as we call it.
Oh, that's pretty. That's word for word. That's yeah. exactly right. the way it was.
Now, yeah. time for commercial.
No.
Almost.
Come on, buddy. That's a Doolittle raid.
I know. It's good.
Guy comes back, then he becomes like a race. There's a guy who's probably an alcoholic there.
Oh, sure. Oh, yes.
But an American. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Tyler?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Well, okay, here's the deal. I've been with the same girl for about 10 years now. Mm-hmm. And we're all but married. We live together. Basically, the situation is if she's going to college, she's about ready to graduate, I've hit and missed with some courses and really have never found anything I really like or really want to do. Both her family and my...
Let me tell you about the Bataan
Death
March.
No, it's okay.
Oh, man. They had to build that bridge over the River Kwai. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah, I hear you. I've seen that movie, too.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry, Tyler.
No, that's cool. But basically, I guess instead of beating around the bush, pretty much what I'm getting at is neither one of our families have gone to college. I really just don't know what the hell I'm supposed to do. And if I don't get into school, she's just gonna dump me, just leave me. Now,
it's hard to, you know, one thing about being a married couple is you have to kind of appreciate the world the same way, have a similar understanding of the world, and have be able to share ideas and things. And if she is well beyond you academically, it may be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
She may be resentful and frustrated. She maybe has different expectations of her life script as compared to yours. I mean, what it is she wants to do and wants her husband to be doing, the kind of family she wants to raise.
Well, I can understand that. I guess the biggest deal is that normal for a family who doesn't go to school and then all of a sudden, you know, I've been to college. Like I said, I've taken some courses, nothing major. I just really can't make up my mind.
What kind of college did you go to?
Oh, like, who cares?
Well, if you went to junior college, that's not college.
No.
Yeah.
College. Here would be my policy if I ran a university. I'd be like, you've done 2 years of junior college? Wow, now you got to do 6 years.
Yeah, for every
if
year
you've never
college.
Done any junior right. college, I'm going to let you do four. You get your degree in four. Now it's six. Now let me do the math. My mom's done 33 years of junior college. Well, she'd be dead before she ever got her four-year degree. But that 2 years shouldn't count as 2 years. It should be added on to your time.
Mm-hmm.
Like an escape attempt in the joint. You know what I mean? It's added on. I would look at junior colleges like a warden. I'd say, oh, add it on. That's bad behavior. Been fighting in the yard. Tyler?
Yeah, so I guess the deal...
All right, quiet down. Listen to me. Oh, he cussed?
Yeah, he said S.E. College. S. College.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Right when he came back?
No, just before.
Oh, I didn't even hear
him. I did.
Too busy yelling. Okay, here's the thing. College isn't for everybody. And if you're just going there poking around, and being a student isn't for everybody.
But that's not what this woman's looking for, I suspect. Either she wants to be married to a certain kind of person or have a certain kind of family or to be able to share life a certain way with someone. And it may not be Tyler.
Sean doesn't have a college degree, but she'd be on top of him. Look at his split. No, women are attracted to guys who are doing their thing.
Competency is something they're into.
Yeah, but... Yeah, being competent, but also moving in a direction.
Like, success and security.
Yeah, the college part doesn't matter if you're opening your own restaurant or you got your own clothing line that you're designing or whatever you're building, mountain bikes. You know, they need to see playing, you know, bass guitar, whatever. They need to see somebody moving in a direction. Mm-hmm. When they see the guy sort of spinning around and just bumping off each wall and caroming back to another... That freaks them out because women feel like, look, this guy's got to protect, he's got to provide, he's got to do whatever. And, I know it's 2005. Women still think that way.
Well, they're still wired that way to be attracted to that kind
Thank
of thing.
Thank you. Yes, Vogue and Cosmo have attempted to talk them out of it, but they're still wired that way.
Yeah.
They do want a guy to stand up and go, listen, sweetie, it's cool. I'm going to handle it. Don't worry about it. You make the babies. I'm going to make the cash. And then I'll be banging my secretary. Oh, no, wait. Don't say that part. That's the part. That's what I should. See, I always keep going.
Got to be careful.
I got to stop right at cash. That's where I need to stop. The point is they don't want to see someone wandering around. So forget about college and forget about that part where you go like, oh, she just does it. She wants a car. No, she wants you to want to know what you want to do. She wants you to make a move. She wants you to do something. You're 25. It's time to go.
We want you to also, by the way.
Yeah, so if it's not college, fine. Yeah. Figure it out. Make a move.
And realize she may have a thing about education. It's possible.
Yeah. True, you got a thing about education, right?
Yes.
You do. But how do you... No, but I'm smarter than you. How does that work?
Yeah, but smart and education are two different things.
Yeah. Second gayest man alive admitted I was smarter than he was. Yeah, but what it means, you and I would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I got put on academic probation.
But
if we
were married, I could understand. But you sort of educated yourself.
I get to
yourself.
Be the dude.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. No. If we were married, I'd be telling you the Doolittle story when we were humping.
Exactly.
All right. That'd be awesome. Drew, are you listening? Heads banging against the headboard. Drew, listen to me. Just Doolittle.
They ditched the plane.
They ditched in Nangkuk. in Bok Choy. All right.
Now, this next call is distressing.
Really?
I think I blame you, Adam. Go ahead, Catherine. Here we go.
All right.
Catherine.
Hey.
Catherine, you're 29.
Yes.
This is an irony that has not escaped me. I can't deal with it.
Go ahead.
The universe is conspiring against me to ever listen to you guys again. I started listening to you guys in the late 90s in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. And I'm visiting my sister in Washington, D.C., and I've been listening to you guys for the last several nights. Tonight, mm-hmm. I turned on the radio about 20 past 10, and I thought you were playing the Ranchero game. Uh-huh. game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because the affiliate is now a Ranchero station.
Really?
WHFS has
changed
gone.
Changed at noon today.
All Mexican Ranchero.
No, it has not.
Oh, yes.
Aye!
Oh, yes, it has.
No, it has not.
Yes, it has. Adam.
WHFS is like one of the biggest alternative stations ever.
And they're blaming you, Corolla, for starting a new trend.
As God is my witness. Gone at noon today.
You got it. You can't be serious.
I am as God is my witness.
WHFS is...
As God is my witness. It's a
really?
Great station. One of our favorite stations. Does not exist. We are off, and they are off. Lisa
wow.
Warden, not director anymore.
I thought what? They were
those,
playing the Ranchero game.
Hold on.
Those liners we did last night.
We did liners for them last
for
night.
Duke and Orgasm.
The fat Boy, yeah.
Fat Boy and
whoever, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Gone.
What happened?
They're gone. This is radio business.
Well, let's look at it this way. The fastest growing population in this country is Latin, right? Latino,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And if there's... You know, if you got a radio station and you got 35, gringo stations battling out for your little piece mm-hmm. of the pie,
right.
and there's one Mexican station.
Somebody wants to buy you, and you're the first one in line. Look, she's got it on the line now.
Fire up the accordion.
I went to wyadayada.com, and it's Spanish now. It directed me to something in Spanish.
Yeah.
El Zol.
This is a bad sign. Yeah, and by the way, Ranchero music, I really am going
to... Doolittle sacrifice himself for this. Is that why he went yeah. across the Pacific?
Doolittle ditched his B-29 and bok choy so you guys could listen to horrible accordion-driven music? I swear to God, these people have some sort of gene that doesn't let... That's not...
This again.
There's some sort of gene that's built into a Mexican that doesn't. I here's the deal. If you pump this into the music, if you put a bunch of blue-eyed people in the room and pump this in, and just left a number two pencil in the middle of it, you come back an hour later, it'd be blood all over the place.
Yes.
Get
in the neck.
Artery stabbed. Yeah. It'd be a body. It'd be like a Tarantino movie. Just be a pile of bodies when
you
came back.
But you can understand. I mean, when I hear that music, I just shut my eyes. Oh, I immediately think of the Lincoln Memorial and the mall and the winter.
Yeah.
Before the
leaves D.C.?
Off, the Capitol building off in the distance. Immediately the music that rings.
Well, just
brings
really, I mean, honestly, the whole Kennedy family. I mean, when you picture like Camelot, play that music. I think this is the theme. Theme song to their life. This is what you picture in the background. You see
Jackie's,
the Lincoln
Jackie's
Memorial.
Dresses. they have designed for this kind of social life.
Listen. So annoying.
You did it. Let's stop for a second.
All right,
Aaron,
all right.
Stop because some other station might convert.
So you really think that Ace's, Sean, we play a little game called Ace's Mexican Ranchero Accordion Countdown on the show where we fire up a Ranchero song and then guess how many seconds before the accordion fires in. You think that doing this over the last few months...
the populace of D.C.
Wow.
The president himself, I heard, was... it's all the rage, you know? What are you
WHFS.
Doing? I know. It makes me very sad.
Wow.
Sad. Hey, we got to take a quick call here just before we go to break. We have somebody on the line who's wanting to talk to Sean.
Eva? Did she hang up?
Can't make her wait.
Eva Longoria from Desperate Housewives. Eva. I don't know.
She hung up.
Did she hang up?
I guess.
She's a busy woman, you know. She's got
How do you know
seven.
Eva Longoria?
She's a good friend of mine.
Wow. She's the young one from Desperate Housewives,
okay.
right? She's hot. You guys dating?
No.
Something.
Nah, she's just a close friend.
You can't be friends with really good-looking women.
Why not?
Ow! Oh, Sean.
Oh, did you hear that?
Yeah.
Why not? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Liar.
That was for the radio.
Yeah. Sean Ferris is here tonight. Yeah, you know what we got? We got an Ashton Kutcher type scene going on here. A little older, dark-haired woman. beautiful young male. He looks like Ashton, doesn't he?
Not too much. Just
no,
bit.
Let's just take it. Drew's the second case man alive. He knows. Believe know. You me. Sean Ferris is here tonight from Life as We Know It. All right, we got to take a break. We'll
let's
hopefully
check one
talk
more time
to
real
Eva.
Quick.
Really?
Check.
Okay,
just check.
One more time. Eva?
No.
Okay.
You can call her.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah.
Woo!
What's happening? It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Sean Ferris is here tonight.
Hello, hello.
Reeling over the format change of one of our oldest affiliates, WHFS, in Washington, D.C., one of the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
I would go out to that
HF Festival.
It was in RFK Stadium. Run out of initials soon. There was like 65,000 people there. Mm-hmm. It's a huge station.
I just find it hard to believe there's such a large Latin population in Washington.
Well, maybe they're trying to attract some. And I don't know why, but they're trying to attract them. Maybe they, what, Drew?
What?
I mean,
I
they're trying
maybe
to attract them.
Bring them into D.C.
No, I just, I really do think it's a numbers thing. If you, you know, if you have 30 white stations and 3 Latin stations, you're going to be better to compete in that market. I just wonder why the signal is so strong. I know over here the signal's strong because it comes out of Tijuana and they don't have, like, FCC regulations on their amperage of the wattage of the whatever. But I mean, you're driving around, you can't get anything, and pow, you get hit with some horns and a sombrero. Like, pow.
Yeah.
You know, you ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, that was a stupid question.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe it's time to play Ace's Mexican Ranchero Accordion Countdown.
If you want, sure. Just in homage to HFS.
Yeah, Sean Ferris is here tonight from Life as We Know It, 8 o'clock on ABC, Thursday nights. That's tomorrow night. This is how the game is played. Good ranchero music does not go on very long without an accordion. The question is we take a random ranchero song, yes, Michelle cues it up, in a random spot, too, not at the beginning, per se. Just fires up a random ranchero song in a random spot. How long? How many seconds before we hear that accordion kick in? Sean.
Three.
Seconds. Good bet.
Solid bet.
Instantaneous.
Smart. You're going instant.
Yeah.
All right. Drew is going instant. A lesser man would go 4 seconds. I'm going 4.5.
Fair enough.
No, I'm going 5 seconds. I'm going 5 seconds. All right. And we should make that rule. It's got to be a 2-second buffer. You got to put a second in between. All right. I got 5. Sean's got 3. Drew goes instant. All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Instant. Thank you.
Yeah, is that instant?
Oh, yeah.
That was instantaneous.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Couldn't hear it over Anderson screaming, but yeah. I'm sure it was there.
Yeah, it didn't come across that loud to me. All right, so that was instant. All right, surprise. So Drew wins. Yeah. Shocking. But then... then the big riff came in about 8 seconds or so. All right, Drew wins with instant, the coward's way. You ready to go?
Here we go.
All right. Maybe we'll convert another affiliate before the night is through.
The way we're going, maybe a few affiliates.
Steve?
Hello?
Steve, hold on. Michelle, do you speak any Spanish?
No, but I can kind of understand it because my parents, you know, they used to speak behind our backs and we know what's up.
Tell me what you got for Christmas. They'd say things like, this year for Christmas, I stop raping her. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I know how it goes. Here's the point. I'm going to need a translator soon. And I'll just be sitting, go ranting. It's talking about left turn arrows and my grandmother and
how this translated
Doolittle into. And this guy was just going long-winded rants about me, and then I'll have time to breathe. You know, just sit on a stool and drink Gatorade while he fills me in. Although they speak faster than we do, Drew.
Yeah.
So it's a 10-minute rant. It's only going to be about 4.5 minutes, but we'll work it out. Why can't they? They can listen to some provocative talk radio, right?
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Let me branch out. Or who am I talking to? Steve?
Steve.
Yeah, hey, what's going on?
You're 23. What's up?
Ace Man, checking in. Chicago, 50 degrees.
It is not 50 degrees in Chicago.
Oh, yes, it is.
50 degrees?
They say it was 60 last week in New York.
Wow.
Yeah, they say New York might get up 70 or something.
Wow.
All right. That's right.
50 degrees.
All right there, beer buddy. What's going on?
Nothing. I got back from Iraq about 3 weeks ago, and I went to a psychiatrist, and I'm going to a therapist, and I'm going through some serious things because I saw some pretty terrible things over there.
What, did you see people die? Friends die?
Well, I was escorting a Humvee, and there was about a 12-year-old kid, I don't know, 10, 12, whatever, and he had a RPG pointed right at the Humvee, and I killed him.
Where were you?
Where was I?
Yeah, I mean, you say you're escorting a Humvee. What does that mean? Were you in a Humvee as well?
No, I was one of the six guys surrounding it.
So you're on foot?
Yes.
And you just you shot him with an M16?
Yeah, one in the forehead.
All right, well, but the guy had an RPG, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
listen, no one wants to kill a 10-year-old, but, you know, better that than him pull out, you know, you're on the streets of Chicago, you're a cop, and he pulls out a squirt gun, and you think it's a 9mm, yeah, and you kill the kid.
Which happens.
Which happens. Oh, I mean, at least the guy had a rocket-propelled grenade.
Right.
Yeah, I know. It's just...
You should still be depressed. Don't get me wrong, but, I mean, it's, as we say in the business, clean kill. Good kill.
But if he had shot it, you would have had 15 friends lying dead, too. Right.
Same are you.
Right.
True.
Well, did that turn out to be true? I mean, it wasn't a cardboard tube on there with like a styrofoam grenade, right?
It was real. We after I killed the kid, not just me, but my whole squad went over and checked it out, and it was real.
And was he coming for you guys, or was he going somewhere else?
Well, the only thing that was there was the Humvee and the escort, my squad.
Right.
He was pointing it at them.
All right, so you did what you had to do. I mean, you can still be freaked out, but I emotionally, killing an 11-year-old sucks, but killing an innocent one...
sucks more.
Sucks much more, I would imagine. I'm not telling you can't have feelings about it, but... there's really nothing. You had no alternative.
How about displacing some of that anger onto the parents and send a kid out like that and encourage that kind of behavior? That's where your anger ought to be placed.
Well, yeah, actually, Drew, I wanted to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
My psychiatrist put me on Depakote and Xanax XR.
Yeah, we can hear the Xanax. That's why Adam mentioned the beer. You're slowed down. You're slowing your speech a little bit.
I got to get one. Can I get some?
I know you want Xanabars.
One Xanabar.
Yeah. I mean, what about it, Steve?
Yeah.
And I still can't sleep. All I can see is my bullet going through that kid's head.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Did
you have previous trauma growing up, something else that set you up for all this?
No, actually, my parents are very wealthy, and they were very upset that I joined the Army, and I graduated from Northwestern about 2 years ago, and I don't know, it's just...
All right, well, look, here's the thing. All right, let me just summarize everything here. First off, when you put a bullet through a 11-year-old 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, whenever it is, you're not supposed to be over it yet.
Right, that's right.
Secondly, your depression level oftentimes is connected to what's going on.
Well, that's the point. People that have PTSD almost always have something we call a pre-morbid condition. Something sets them up.
You're running Microsoft and banging Heidi Klum. You don't go home and get as depressed as you normally would than when you're just sitting around watching car commercials
or if you
all
had
day
some,
and drinking.
Some issue that was sort of undealt with growing up that sort of gets re-triggered by all this trauma. It's, you know,
yeah,
problems.
But also the guy is... not doing anything now, right, and it's time to start doing something.
It's hard, though, when he's dealing with all this.
It is, but, you know, look, you're supposed to be, I don't know if I'd want to hang out with a guy who was over killing an 11-year-old
had no feelings about
by that evening.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Or how about the guy that did not feel like Steve does?
Yeah, he was happy about it.
Right.
Thought the kid had it coming. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? That's, you want to hang out with that guy?
No, I don't want to hang out with that guy.
Okay. Which guy we want to hang out with? Steve?
Steve.
Okay. When are we going over there? All right. Steve, so hey, look, it's just time. It's therapy. Do what the doctors say.
Yeah.
And focus on trying to get your life going in the meantime. Start a relationship. Start a career. These things all help in the depression department. And I haven't given the speech in a long time, Drew, but do some exercise. Listen to some classical music. Not ranchero.
Yeah, get out. You know, you got to get out. If you sit around and just think about it, it's just going to be on your mind all the time. You're never going to let go of it.
Yeah, it is. For those of us who've been depressed before, Drew, you've been depressed, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have the feeling of having to sort of pry yourself out in, you know, it's like, here's what depression is. Depression is like having arthritis at age 23.
That's
you know, it's like your bones hurt. You, nothing
you
wants,
ache, everything hurts all the time. You can't sleep.
You don't want to get up.
Or you sleep too much. Yeah, the whole pain, very often, generalized pain that doesn't have a organic basis to it is depression very often.
And it's not so much even pain. It just feels like someone replaced your innards with sand. And when somebody says, hey, let's get up, let's go to the park, let's throw the ball around, it's like, you feel like an 85-year-old.
Well, I had the other kind of depression. Ooh. I had agitated depression.
Manic.
Anxiety.
Driving everyone nuts.
Yeah.
Just running around, getting into everything.
Getting everyone's face.
No,
bothering everyone.
No, not that.
Banging the bejesus out of his ladies.
No, not that.
Oh, vengeance, F.
That came later.
Painful. Yeah. Removing skin. Difficult. Thank God he was a doctor. He could put that Bactine on it. The point is, eventually just started drinking it, you know, eliminating the middle step. Does that work? Okay, here's what I'm saying, Drew. A guy like Steve, he needs to move.
Yeah.
He needs to get going. He needs to just pry himself out of the, start looking for a job tomorrow, jog, put some headphones on and jog. Yeah?
Yeah. Well, if he gets on with his life and starts moving around doing things, it'll kind of numb it.
And
you know? You won't think
and
about
you might
it
talk.
So much.
You want specific recommendations as far as the sleep. You might want to talk to your doctor about a medication called Seroquel.
Yeah.
Which might be better for you than the Xanax.
Give me some of that.
Yeah, I know.
To bed about 3:30 last night.
You writing that down over there, Adam?
Seroquel. Give me some of that.
Now, Seroquel, you'll gain weight.
It's anabolic.
Oh, really?
Major weight.
Oh, Michelle's got drugs. Michelle gained
some.
No,
I was
Michelle.
On Seroquel. Michelle,
but
it works. It totally, it was
Think
the one
for this
that worked.
Guy, huh?
It worked for
but
me.
But you gained weight?
Like 40 pounds.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It took me about a year to get rid of it.
Wow.
Well, then we put you on something called Topamax, which instead of the Depakote, and that cuts the appetite.
Right.
Topamax.
Yeah, aren't you happy now you're learning all this? I've never seen you so interested. You're lit up about this.
What is it about putting people on pharmaceutical drugs, though, and then putting them on other things to eliminate the side effects of it, and then putting them on more things to eliminate the side effects of those?
What
I've
about
never
it,
really
Drew?
Have understood
about
that.
About a little classical, you know, and some yoga.
I'm all for that. But, yeah, when you're the man, your desire is to make people uncomfortable and hurt them.
Drew's trying to make money because he's in the hip pocket of the drug companies,
that's
man. Shooting golf.
That's your
all
goal.
Day.
That's
well,
your goal.
So do you put 40 pounds on because you eat more and you retain water?
No,
what
it increases. It changes the hypothalamic function.
Lowers your metabolism?
No, increases your appetite.
Oh, it does.
It sets it at a different
so
place.
You just get hungry.
Hungry all the time, yeah.
Wow. But you're sleeping 14 hours a day. You just someone feeds your ribs while you sleep?
It depends. If you take it just at night, you sleep well during the night.
All right. All right, grab me some of that.
Yeah.
And those macadamia nuts. Let's get started. All right. Sean Ferris is here tonight from Life as We Know It, 8 o'clock, ABC, Thursday nights. We'll take a quick break. Eva Longoria called about 20 minutes ago, but she was on hold for 35 seconds, and she got PO'd and hung up. I think Sean must have called her during the break or something. You guys make up?
She's going to call back.
She is. You guys are cool?
She's going to give us a call back. She's got until midnight. So.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Sean Ferris is here tonight. Life as We Know It, name of his show on ABC, 8 o'clock Thursday nights. Speaking of shows.
Tomorrow night.
That's tomorrow night. You know what the bidding is for this show, Drew?
For Loveline?
Yeah, now here's the deal. We're doing a whole thing out here on K-Rock, and it's the K-Rock. KROQ.com, KROQ.com. You can reach it from anywhere in the country, and you can bid on many cool things.
Well, let's set this up again. This is a tsunami relief fund, basically.
Right.
And
it's
an auction to raise money for the tsunami survivors. And here are the station from which we originate, K-Rock, K-Rock, Q,
right.
Website, krock.com, and you can sign on to the, what's the big-ass auction? Is that what they call it?
Well, you just go to KROQ.com, and I think you can find it from there.
But it says big-ass. It's a little. It's not actually that obvious. It says big-ass auctions, one corner.
Yeah.
And you sign on, and then there's this list of things you can bid on, including getting Pennywise over to your house, or, as you say, keeping them from your house.
The bid should be how to keep,
how to keep Pennywise
you bid
away.
Enough, we can guarantee they will not come to your house.
It's like a Visa commercial. Some things are priceless.
Right.
And or having Hoobastank at an event of your choice.
All sorts of cool things.
Guitars and stuff. But one of them is to be a host, guest here on Loveline with Adam and I. And the current bidding for that is, Michelle?
$11,000.
$11,000. When I heard it was at like $3,400,
I was freaked.
Mortified.
Yeah, I know.
What kind of maniac is going to come in here, Drew?
A, who is the person going to be?
And
B, what are you going to have to do for them?
Here's oral, obviously.
Or, as you say, receive.
What's he going to do for you?
When we get to $15,000, yes, we're definitely at sodomy. But here's the thing, Drew, and I know this is going to be an unpopular stance, but
can't wait.
I think a lot of the reason that people are coming in here is because of my comedy. I think I feel like I've driven the price up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
so you should get in for a cut.
A taste. I'm not saying I want the lion's share of the money.
It's like 10%. You'll be good.
Well, agents,
like,
managers.
Yeah, just like the Hollywood.
Well,
thing.
I mean, here's the thing. Even the Red Cross has a price to operate.
Yeah.
You know, you give $10,000 to them, maybe $8,500 makes it over to the Philippines or where the hell this went on, Drew. But there's envelopes to buy, there's stationery, there's things like that.
Yeah.
What do I got? I got gas. I'm coming in here. I'm a lot.
Well, and think of that. Your time. You're going to come in at least 8 minutes early that night.
Talk to the person. No, but here's seriously what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. Look, you could have some other bozo in here. Let's face it. You could have Ricky Rackman in here. You guys be coming off about $2,200, maybe $2,500. Or you could have the Ace Man in here, and I can guarantee you $15,000. I'm going to need to see five.
If you guarantee that 15.
I guarantee you 15.
Now, if we don't make 15, you got to make up the difference.
Okay. I guarantee 15. I'm going to need to see five. I need to wet my beak. You understand?
Adam, you have no shame. This is for the relief fund. And
oh, he'll give it back to
you. I got three houses and a fleet of sports cars. Those things don't pay for themselves, kid.
You just want to see a little love.
I don't have the looks that you got. You understand? I got to squirrel away my money.
You do have the cash register.
What are you talking about?
I got to shake my ass and have cash fall out of the tree on me like you, kid. Quiet down. This is business now. I'm just saying, $10,000 toward the tsunami fund.
Five to Adam.
It's Corolla better fund. Than the 22 you would have got with Rack. You see what I'm saying?
You're still winning.
I know it's not a popular thing, but I'm just...
It's honest, though, huh?
I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Okay?
And you're getting what you're worth.
I'm getting what I'm worth.
I'm going to start calling you Diana Ross.
We're losing
They're getting 10 more than they would have gotten. All right?
You know, if the person's smart, whoever wins, they'll request to come in on a night you're not in, like a striker. So they can get a word in edgewise.
How dare you? Who is that? The point is I've been looking for that voice, and I can't find it. I checked the bathrooms. I went to Arrow, kicked the door in, started screaming at the guy. Talk, damn you. The point is we can get up to 15. That's my... The auction is over Friday night. If we can get this thing up to 15, like I said, I wet my beak. I just want to taste.
Oh, serving over 10, you get. All right, you get.
And again, they get 10. What am I giving them?
Huh?
You know, beach blanket with a hole in it?
No,
I'm getting $10,000.
Yeah, you're
okay.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Well, what happened to the Hollywood 10%? I mean, you're going 33% on that.
Well, I'm talent, and that's more for agents. I'm actually driving the price up. And like I said, it takes guts to take a stand like this. You're not going to have other celebrities say that they actually want to be kissed in to the Tsunami Relief Fund.
As far as I'm concerned, I think there's other stations converting now over to
the Rancho music.
The Rancho format. True. As a matter of fact, if you just reach your wallet in front of me, right?
Reach in front. I don't like either of those words going around you. But let's just take this quickly.
Elizabeth?
Hello.
$11,000.
Crazy. I'm going to be so guilty. What are we going to do with these people when they get here?
It's the most pricey, the highest priced auction on here. We have like 50 things
that
are auctioning off, and that's the highest
number
thing.
One.
Wow.
Number one.
Don't you feel special?
We got to take them to dinner. Let's take them to dinner.
Yeah, I just put together a theory. 1,100 people are going to come in here.
Oh, yeah.
I guess some guy in an office got everyone to put in a buck.
Yep.
I think that's what happened. All right, Elizabeth, you're 16. What's up?
Tonight I had sex with my boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
and it smelled like like.
Okay. Okay. She got 8 words out and then the S-bomb.
Yeah, 8 words, but like 14 syllables. I mean, let's be fair before the S-bomb.
All right, so her point was that she and her boyfriend.
I hope not her brother.
She's calling from Riverside. They're alchemy. So they're probably a cousin or possibly fire.
Together they made a stinky smell.
Yes.
And that could either be him. Mm-hmm. Some guys do sometimes have a little funk about the semen, particularly if it's been a while since they've cleared the pipes. Mm-hmm. Two, she could have a malodor. And either case, it could be something called trichomonas cause a bad smell. There's also a vaginitis that can cause a bad smell. Mm-hmm. And it, sometimes just the two of them together, they get a different kind of a smell. Right. Well, so it does something needs to be checked out for you.
One closes one's eyes and the mind runs wild as to what finishing school she attended.
Riverside, S-bomb.
Tough. Yeah. Obviously somewhere in Geneva.
Pine Manor,
I would assume.
Is it possible that if one person smells and another person smells, because they both smell,
together they smell great,
they don't smell each other?
Well, you will sort of, just the way you get used to your own gas or things like that, you'll get used to your partner's smells. Mm-hmm. They will start to...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I mean,
Not your brain. Your brain doesn't do that.
No.
Nothing goes into the background for you.
No, I can't even like my own spit. Yeah. It's like someone spit in my mouth 24 hours a day. It's horrible.
You're trying to load your
tongue. Yeah. All right, again, Sean Ferris is here. Nightlife is, we know, we're up to 11 grand. That's 6 for the Sumatras. Okay, let's see if we can get that up to 15. We'll get it to 10. It's all going to be profit after this, all right?
There you go.
All right, after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Sean Ferris is here tonight. Drew is on the Loveline website or the K-Rock website trying to figure out what the bid is for the tsunami fund.
Has it gone up since we spoke about it last?
I hope it has.
Yeah, you want that 5% or that 5,000, huh?
Yeah, no, again, it wouldn't be right to take 10%. I'm looking more in the 40 to 50%. Range. Drew's mouth is hanging open, and Michelle looks like she bit into some bad boontang. Look at that face. What is going on? What is it up to, Drew? What's happening?
He can't find it.
He's looking.
All right. It was at 11 grand. You come in. You hang out. We may have a guest that night, or you may be the guest.
Maybe that's an error.
There's some weird stuff going on here.
Okay. So what's it down to now? Do I get my five grand? People started retracting their offer
whenever they knew you were getting money.
It's going to be really horrible when it goes down to $4,800 and now I figure they owe me. Like, hey, I'm light. Someone's going to fork over. I got to get $200 from a Sumatran. That's it. All right. Drew, get back over here and do the show, would you?
It's 11.
All right, it's 11. Good. That was a very fruitful 20 minutes you spent over there without a microphone. Eva Longoria is on the phone, by the way. She's called back in, of course, from the runaway hit, Desperate Housewives. Friend of Sean Ferris. I don't know how they know each other, Drew, but we're going to find out. Eva?
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, darling. How you doing?
Hi.
Oh, man.
You've been out hanging out. You've been having a good time.
Yeah, I've been listening to you as I've been on hold 5 times.
Oh. How could you guys do that? I told you she was calling.
I was looking for her. Eva, how do you know Sean?
Sean and I met because of ABC, because we both have shows on ABC.
That's funny.
They're curious about the love triangle.
They saw each other.
I know, so they want to hear something crazy.
Yeah, Kimmel's on ABC. But you ain't hanging with him. Yeah.
We met at the Upfront in New York when they announced all the shows.
There we go.
Booze, and more booze.
I'm from Texas. So, anybody from Texas, we immediately...
You just get along.
Yeah.
It's just an automatic thing.
Neither of you say y'all, though.
Huh?
Well, it's a couple of years separated from Texas.
I see.
Now, Eva, you live out in Los Angeles, right?
I do.
And now, are you currently filming Desperate Housewives or shooting Desperate Housewives?
Right. Yep. As we speak.
And what do you guys now? Are you doing season 3 now, or you're working on 2?
We're not even finished season 1. We're not even halfway done. We just finished episode 14, and episode 10 has aired. So
how many are you doing this year?
How many are you doing this year?
How many episodes?
We're doing 23.
Wow, that's a big order.
Lots of love.
That's awesome. An amazing success that show's had.
Thank you. I mean,
I give all the credit to Eva myself.
I do too. Because she's called in. But, I mean, you couldn't have. I mean, I'm sure you figured you had a good cast and a, you know, good script and everything. But the kind of success that the show's had, I mean, I would think, you know, each year one show sort of you have to say this is the number one show of the year.
I can't imagine you'd go into any show thinking this is going to be the one.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Impossible.
You hope, as an actor, there's so many obstacles you have to overcome, like first getting a pilot and then the pilot getting picked up and then the, you know, pilot hopefully finding an audience on the right night, on the right time. And there's so many factors that go into it. So you just hope that you're going to have a job.
The attrition rate is incredible. Like your greatest fear, you want to get picked up for season two. Forget about number one. How about top 70? You know?
Right.
Exactly. And so
they're not going to have any problem with that, though.
No.
Sean, whenever we were premiering, Sean's like, dude, can you leave a little bit of budget for us? Like, with all the billboards and all the promotions that they did for it. It was amazing.
They had promotions on the hangers that you get whenever you get your dry cleaning.
Wow. Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay, I mean, for every 100 units of promotion the Desperate Housewives and Lost got, we got two.
Yeah, well, I guess the Lost worked out okay, too.
Yeah, and so they're good.
I love Shawnee Show. Shawnee Show is a really good show.
It's a cute little show. It's no Lost. It's no Desperate Housewives.
Hey, come on,
nice
man. Give some love. I'm sitting right across from you.
It's a cute little show. It's cute. It's okay if you like that kind of show, but it's not, it's not Desperate Housewives. I mean, you couldn't advertise it on a wire hanger or anything.
Our radio affiliates are getting behind it, though.
Yeah. Hey, Eva, you should come do this show.
I'm doing this show right now.
There you go. She threw one right back
now.
At you.
Right now. But you should haul your very tight fanny in here and do the show in person one of these nights.
Yeah, I should.
Yeah. But I'm not going to.
I know, you're not going to. But listen, if you hurry up, some of Sean's stink will still be on the stool.
I got to talk to Sean tonight when he gets home tonight, and I'm going to ask him. If how his experience was, and if he says it was good.
Oh. Very clever woman, this Ava.
Smart.
Treat my friend right.
Very I
well
see.
Done.
You better be nice.
Yeah. Well
all right,
done.
Drew. Give him the reach around.
not the.
You're a doctor. It won't make you gay. If I do it, it's weird. Hey, Eva.
Yeah.
Now, seriously, I'm not trying to do any tabloid journalism, but obviously, and I'm feeling the connection between you and Sean. And me. Shut up. Let me just work my way into this.
You guys got something planned up for tonight?
Yeah. You guys going to meet up later tonight?
Are we friends?
Yeah.
Well, your friend Adam wanted to join you, I understand.
Yeah.
Are you working tomorrow?
Yeah, no, I work in the morning.
See,
what time?
What,
yeah,
she can rally.
Yeah, you can rally. What time? By the way, you can just sleep it off in your trailer. You'll be fine.
No, I am in love with Sean. He's the greatest guy in the world. He is an amazing friend. And I love supporting him.
Thank you, Eva.
But Eva, let me seriously ask. I clearly, and look, I'm not trying to put anyone on the spot here, but maybe there is a connection to be made if there hasn't been already. Clearly, Sean is smitten with you. You have feelings for Sean. I don't know what your status is. Single or married or whatever. Sean seems to be free and clear.
Adam's available.
Yeah. I'm married, but, you know, she's flexible. She's cool.
She's
like
cool.
That.
She's cool.
And, cool. No, I'm just saying, are you single, Eva?
Yes. Uh-huh.
You are. Sean, what's up?
Hey, I'm in the same boat.
Sean's in the same single boat. I'm in the merry dinghy with Drew. You guys are on the cabin cruiser for singality. But,
God.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's what I'm saying. You're both single. You're both part of the galaxy of ABC stars. You're both attractive. You're young. You're in your prime. Sean, Sean's testosterone,
peaking.
Oozing from this man.
I am a young guy.
You, beautiful Latino, nubile woman with, you're like a caged tiger. What?
Well, he pegged you, huh?
I'm just saying, well, what's wrong with the two of you connecting? You know what
Sean
I'm saying?
Sean is my friend.
Right, friend. But what's wrong with connecting? You know, even better.
Friend.
He's talking friends with benefits here.
Right. I mean,
you know, honestly, I don't think it would work because Eva and I, the type of people we are, we neither one of, if we ever went that route, we'd never leave the house.
You're so passionate.
You know, it's just, people. It would be too much. Nothing would ever top it.
Yeah. Eva, are you a passionate woman?
Very much so, yes.
Very much so. And Sean, yes. I thumped him like a melon before I came in and realized his passion is almost off the charts.
Full. You guys yeah. have a lot of things going on over there.
Yeah.
I think you were smitten with Sean.
Oh yes. That goes without saying.
I would like to see Sean with you. Yeah. Yeah, I could watch that.
Yeah. Hang out in the closet with the door creaked open.
No. Oh, Sean, are you kidding?
Yeah. So listen, Eva, here's
the towel boy.
Here's the thing. I'm just standing there holding the towel. Mr. Ferris, do a couple of plot shots. Mint, breath mint. Hey, Eva, here's all I'm saying. I would love to be the guy that got you two together. And there's energy here. No, I'm not trying to pimp either one of you.
Hell, you're not. You're going nuts on that.
I mean, there's energy. There's energy between the two of them. They're both single.
Well, you spent 10 minutes on this. Let's leave these poor kids alone.
All right.
We've tried. Sean and I tried to create rumors, and there ain't nothing going.
We can help you with that. That's no problem.
Eva, you go to your condo and have a wine cooler. We need you to do that.
Go warm up the hot tub.
Fire up the hot tub, and then I'm going to need you to take a nice loofah shower.
Get the booty queens out too.
We're gonna rev him up over here, and then we'll send him by. Should get there about 12:15, 12:20. All right.
Nice.
All right. And he'll be there by 12:22.
And he'll give you a good report, and then we'll see you on this show.
All right. I look forward to it, y'all.
Thanks.
Oh,
Eva.
There you go.
All right, Eva Longoria, everyone from Desperate Housewives. There's something there. There's some energy, and I can't quite. You love Desperate Housewives.
It's nothing but love.
Yes.
I remember her from Young and the Restless.
Ah, yeah.
You're lesbian.
She's restless, okay.
She's in she's in Michelle's wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah. Attractive woman, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with that.
No.
Tight.
No, she's a great person. She really is.
Who cares? I don't care if she's Hitler Jr. She's great looking, and you should be on that. And I think there's something going on. I do.
Whatever.
Okay. I'm wanting to facilitate.
Listen, these guys, I know you are, but you've made that point 18 times in a row.
But let me tell you something about women. Women feel sometimes like they give in too early.
I know, but Sean wants you to do that.
Sean does.
You want him to beat on you guys like that?
He can do whatever he wants to. I'm just sitting here for pure entertainment purposes.
Oh, I see. He's not here.
He's not here.
Does he like older women?
Oh, I love older women.
Okay. Yeah, everyone, look.
You gotta date older women.
22-year-old guys love older women because they're 27-year-old women.
Well, yeah, of course.
When you hit 45, you don't want to be with a 59-year-old.
That's never going to happen.
No.
When you hit 45, then that's when you drop back down.
You drop down.
Of course. Right.
But ironically, they're still 27. Like,
yeah, it always 27's like that point.
You're 22, you want to be with a 27-year-old. You're 45, you want to be with a 27-year-old.
What is the optimal age?
For what?
27.
When you're, you mean for a woman?
Because you out of the blue pick 27 is the age.
I just threw it out there. Here's what you want.
Give or take a few.
Women can be super foxy at 21, 22, but the desire part is a little screwed up. Yeah. They're a little nutty. And yeah, I would say 30, 31.
Well, I was saying, let's write down a number.
Okay, well, too late. I would say, and it keeps shifting. And Drew, you're a little older than I am, so it moves up for you. 32. 32, everything still works, super horny, and the body, nothing's falling.
I'll leave
that
to you guys.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. We get the 32-year-olds, Drew. Sarah?
Yeah.
What's happening?
My boyfriend has a really bad temper. My fiance, actually.
I want to talk to Eva again. What's going on?
Does he hit you?
He has once.
Okay. Well, he will do that again.
Where's my bourbon?
Absolutely.
Maybe he got it out of his system.
No, it doesn't work like that, unfortunately.
It doesn't?
Well,
and that's it. He's broken the law in touching you like that.
We've been together for a little over a year.
Oh, well, in that case, then.
And I know that doesn't make it right. Nothing makes it right. But it's the first time he's ever done anything like that.
And that's not the last time. These things, once they cross into this behavior, it escalates.
It does.
I know. I had the same experience with my ex.
So you do tend to go after abusive men.
Yeah, here's the thing. If you were with the fact that you're with him says to us that it's going to escalate.
Right, because that's the who you pick.
So we're guessing your dad was physically abusive to you.
Not to me.
All right, a violent guy, whatever. He was that kind of person, and that's why you're attracted to that kind of person. What's that?
He was to my mom.
I understand. All right. So that's what you expect from men, is for them to beat the crap out of you.
Well, that's not what I want.
I know it's not what you want, but on some levels, you're attracted to that.
Yeah, what you want and what you seek are two very different things.
The thing is, the things that are traumatizing in childhood for reasons that are, why God wired us this way is just a complete mystery, but we are wired in such a way that when we have a traumatic experience in childhood, that becomes a source of attraction later in adulthood. And so the kind of thing, the kind of person that Dad was, and all his traumatizing, what you hated for him for doing, is stuff that you find arousing and alluring now, and you can't not go after those guys.
Yeah.
And, boy, you got to not go. You got to get some treatment so you don't go after those guys.
Well, is there any way at all to break that cycle?
Yes, absolutely.
I thought I was when I got with him, because he was nothing like that when I met him.
Here's what you can pretty much depend on. If you are super attracted to a guy, that's the kind of guy he's going to be.
Unfortunately.
Even if he's a kindergarten teacher, whatever, it seems like the nicest guy in the world. You picked him. You're super attracted to him. That's who he's going to be.
That's why Eva likes Sean. Yeah. Rough trade.
Right.
Handful of hair. Oh, yeah. Sarah?
Yeah.
I like that thing the other way around. She seemed like the more active one.
I could see that, too.
Yeah.
Either way, it's going to work. Sarah?
Yeah.
This guy, what's he do for a living?
He works at a big company, a big corporation that makes some...
Just say things so I can be satisfied and go home.
They make things for, like, big companies.
Right?
Okay. Close-wise.
What
a vivid picture.
Yes, things for big companies.
It's really like having a high-definition plasma screen in my set.
Well,
in my head.
Remember, she may be afraid that he may find out by naming what he does.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. Thanks for crapping on me.
There you go.
Sean's right.
I'm a listener. I'm an observer.
No, I appreciate it. You're right. You got us back on track. Sarah? But it takes a big, big man to admit when someone else is right, Drew. Big man.
That's you.
I get it.
I'm a huge man. So, Sarah, I agree with Drew. We should probably drop this guy.
Yeah.
And
you need to get some treatment.
It's really hard, though.
I know.
Because that's what hold on a second. Let's talk about attraction for just 1 second.
Yes.
Because that's the heroin part of the relationship.
Absolutely.
The reason, somebody could be going, like a guy could kill himself over a chick, and you look at her and like, it's not doing anything for me. I mean, what is attraction? You hear these women all the time, especially for women. It's like, well, he's short and he's kind of balding and he ain't much to look at. And he's got a hairy back, but it's like, I can't.
Yeah,
I gotta breathe his breath. I can't. I want to drink his urine. I can't. I gotta be near this guy.
Right.
What is that? Well, the guy's a schlub. Why do you gotta be near him? Well, that's what attraction is, and it's more powerful than the sort of rational
mind.
And
when it's crazy intense like that, particularly for people that don't make sense to everybody else, it's because you were traumatized, and this is a reenactment of all that traumatic material. And what's interesting is when the current boyfriend starts actually escalating and traumatizing you again, it increases your attachment needs. Where do people go when they're in traumatic situations but run to their loved ones?
Right.
So now this is the guy you're even more attached to now when he becomes the traumatizer, because that's the only place you can go when you're being traumatized.
Is it safe to say that the more effed up you are, the stronger and...
More specific
the attraction is, and the greater the grip it has on you.
The less flexibility you have with moving in and out of relationships.
Yeah, like super people that haven't had any history of trauma can sort of objectively take a look at a situation and go, this person hit me, I'm leaving the relationship.
And that's one of the things that happens from trauma is you lose flexibility and the ability to move in and out of bad and good feelings, bad and good relationships.
Right. And women probably... use more of their brain in terms of attraction than guys do. I mean, guys use their eyes.
Yes, guys, their eyes activate their visual cortices, and then they're driven right into the drive centers, right into the desire centers.
Straight to the junk.
The women don't have that desire activation.
Right to the basket.
They have arousal without desire.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have attraction, all that is what moves them along. It's not that hunger, desire stuff that men get.
Right.
Is that why they're always able to say, no, I don't want to. Stop.
Yes,
stop.
That's
and you're sitting there going, but I got to.
They don't have that.
Mm-mm.
Or a lot of women don't.
Until they hit their peak.
No, even then, a lot of women, that part of the brain doesn't, some do, some men, women are sort of masculinized and have a lot of testosterone and whatnot circulating, but most of them, I'm going out for Discovery Health Channel, we're going to go to a functional MRI scan in Atlanta, and we're going to do a bunch of functional MRIs on people looking at arousing material.
What's the, is there a non-functioning MRI?
Functional MRI, meaning it shows the metabolic function of regions of the brain, not just the anatomic structure.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually look at what the brain is doing in response to stimuli.
So I'm going in the scanner. Pretend like I understand.
Drew's going in. Sean, man of passion, by the way.
We'll have a little race.
Reminds me of a young Drew, driven by passion, both toward the same goal. Vagina hill. Yeah.
No, try one again. All right, here
concrete.
Take two.
Driven by passion.
Two.
Fueled by lust.
Yes.
Just gotta have it.
Yes. Just two men, both in their primes, both moving in the same direction.
To the
Eva Longoria's underpants.
Okay.
The point is I can see, I see the passion in Drew. Mm. Hell, you can smell it if the air conditioning duct's blowing hard enough. Sean. As passionate a man as I've seen in here in a long time. And I've seen passion.
It's,
I know passion.
It's just written on my face. What can I say?
It really
I've actually got a tattooed on my forehead.
Yeah, well.
I think Eva's picking up on that.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. All right, so dump the guy. Yeah?
And get some help.
And get some help.
A good therapist could help you with this.
All right. And
so there are specialists in domestic violence. And report him, frankly.
All right. All right. Well, we got a question for... Sure. For Sean. I was looking at Monique is going to ask a question for Sean. That's a hot name.
Me?
Passion.
Monique.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Monique's got a question for
already
you.
Already Sean's into it.
Yeah.
I am down. Monique, what is up?
We will, well, hold on. What is up? Monique?
Hello?
We got to take a quick commercial here, baby doll. Okay.
But if you hold on, I would be happy to answer your question.
Yes.
Sure.
Get some tips from the reigning king of passion under 30 division drill. It's not going to make a run at your crown.
I'm in a league of my own.
All right. Hold on, Monique. Sean Ferris is here tonight from Life as We Know It, 8 o'clock, Thursdays, ABC. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Sean Ferris is here tonight from Life as We Know It. Will Sasso's coming in here tomorrow night from Less Than Perfect, and you probably know him for all those years on Mad TV. Funny
guy. Got a lot of ABC love going on here, huh? Mm.
We certainly do. Yeah. Yeah. It's usually we go deep cable, but for the next few nights, usually it's the guy with the question marks on his suit that comes on at 5 in the morning, screams at you about getting 80 grand to open a coffee shop. True. Have you still not seen this guy?
I've seen him. No, I've seen that guy.
He's awesome. He tells you how to rape your government. Yeah. And it's true. I like it, too. I just saw him the other night. He's like,
you went up a coffee shop?
You went up you need bills? I'll get $7,000 for your phone bill. It's like, you run up a bill for $7,000 on your telephone and we're supposed to pay for it? And there's a part where he goes, it doesn't matter. Rich, poor, doesn't matter. Like, you're a rich guy. You're a rich guy, and you're like, I need $125,000 to write a novel from the government. He'll get it for you.
Is this the guy with the neon question marks all over? Yes. Red hair, I think.
That's right. Yeah. Lasco. Yeah. Speaking of money, what are we? Are we at 11 grand? 11
Hasn't
grand.
Moved.
Hasn't moved.
Hasn't
See?
Moved.
That seems
you,
to be our
you
price.
Started, you started going for the money, Adam, and you just killed it.
$11,000 for the tsunami relief. That means $6,000. Count them, six. Heading over to that region of the world. Five for the ace man. And it's not like I might not make a donation out of that five. You know what I mean?
A little love.
I might kick over.
10%?
No, but 70. Yeah, 70, 80 bucks, you know, toward the thing. So, you know, out of that five. Again, I've driven the price up, Drew. I need the beak to be wet.
Hey, guys.
Monique? Yeah.
It's the voice.
Yeah.
I was just searching on the, I was just looking at the thing. Mm-hmm. Lisa May to lick her face is up to $900,000.
Yeah, that's what I was. That's why my mouth was open when Adam watched me.
But they'll verify it tomorrow.
No, there's something wrong with
it.
There's another one.
There's
another one for $100,000 up there that's messed up.
But
really?
Our $11,000 apparently has been verified, meaning they've checked and we're
really
legit.
Yeah.
You're again good to go.
I'm still expecting
five
at least
to you
5,000 people to come in here each paying $2.25. All right, Monique.
Uh huh.
You're 15. Are you in love with Sean?
A what?
Are you in love with Sean?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's cute.
Where are you from, Monique?
Where am I from?
Yeah.
Los Angeles.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm in Los Angeles.
Yeah, she's 15, you son of a
that,
bitch.
That was
hey, I'm not hitting on her.
No,
just okay, making right. conversation.
You got Eva at home taking a nice bath, getting ready for you.
That where am I from was the 15-year-old version of who?
Yeah, I know. It's a time by.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Monique, you have a question for Sean?
Yeah.
All right.
Sean, were you your character when you were his age?
Mm-hmm. I could say that I had many of the characteristics of Dino whenever I was in high school, mm-hmm. but not quite the I don't even know if I can say the word. He was kind of an ass.
Yes.
Wasn't quite the asshole he was.
Yeah, you're a nice guy.
Yeah, I was a nice guy.
Right. You know. But you're heading that direction, by the way. I'm just saying, the money comes in, the success, you start betting these beautiful ex.
No, are we talking about me or are we talking about you?
Oh, I was an a-hole when I was in junior high. Are you kidding? Monique.
Uh-huh.
So you think Sean is dreamy?
Yep.
You still use dreamy?
You do.
Are you going to watch the show tomorrow night, Monique?
Definitely. I watch like every week.
You do?
Yep.
All right. You're a big fan. I like that.
Do you have that TiVo, Monique?
Oh, sure.
Okay. No. The important question is, do you have a Nielsen box?
Do you have a Nielsen box? Yeah. Arbitron book. Out. Yeah. Hey, Monique.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you what. Tomorrow night's episode, Sean is going to do something that only you're going to know. he's going to tip it off. He knows you're watching. Sean, tomorrow night, let's figure out something for you to do so that when Monique is sitting at home at 8:15 or 8:45, you make a move that's just for Monique. Whether it's scratching your head or a certain way you flip your hair or you put your hands in your pocket at a certain time. Can you give her something?
Oh, I would absolutely love to do that, but it's not a live show.
No, you could do it. Come on. What do you got for her?
One of the things you do.
What are you doing tomorrow?
What am I doing tomorrow?
Which All episode? Right. I want you to
tomorrow
I want you to dedicate something to Monique so that
movement.
When she's home, she's going to see that and know you're thinking of her.
I don't even know
do
what's
going on. Do you comb your hair? Do you put a hand in your pocket?
There's a moment of realization.
No. I'm
trying to think of what happens. We filmed this months ago.
Work them. Oh, come on. The chick's got cancer.
I'm helping her. I'm trying.
You understand?
Man. Don't put me in the hot seat. I'm under pressure here.
Just make one of those moves, you know? Like, you do one of those Keith Partridge moves where he puts his hands in his pocket and flips his hair back. Like, what's your shit? For me, it'd just be, I'd just scratch my ass.
Is
that your signature move?
I do it every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
8 to 10 minutes, Drew. What do you got? What are you going to dedicate to?
You know,
Monique?
I'll dedicate the eyebrow. I use the eyebrow.
You raise it.
There's a little. You do one.
Yeah. You do a single. Just you do right.
It's
you
the right eyebrow.
Right
it's going to go up.
Okay.
It's going to go up just for you, Monique.
Monique.
Uh huh.
All right. You're going to be watching tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
I'm doing the eyebrow for you, honey.
Okay. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
All right, baby doll. When you see, you have a fan for life. She's going to see that brow raise. She's going to start screaming. He did it. And then her brother's going to like clue her in. It's going to get weird. Oh, yes. All right, you ready, Drew?
Here we go.
Keep going. Matt?
Yeah.
Oh.
You're 18?
Yes. Oh, man, you guys are awesome. Let me just tell you.
Thanks. Tomorrow night when you're watching Life as We Know It, Sean is going to make a move.
Going to raise his right eyebrow.
Yeah,
raise the brow. You're going to be watching, brother, and that's going to be for Matt, okay? That's how he signals you.
Thanks.
All right. Go ahead, man.
Okay, I just came home from college and figured out I got mono over break. And they told me that absolutely no drinking because it affects your spleen, I guess, or liver.
Uh-huh.
Why is that?
How's that go?
Why does it do that?
Yeah. What's up with the mono?
It's a virus that causes inflammation of the liver and enlargement of the spleen.
Okay. Is that what mono does?
Yeah. First off, who were you making out with that gave it to you?
And the alcohol further inflames liver. Can give you significant liver issues.
It can. Mm-hmm. Put it on hold because he keeps talking when you're talking.
Yeah, it's just, you know, in terms of allowing your liver to heal, you want to use not expose it to things that can be further inflaming.
All right, but there's,
I know, you'd be
and
okay,
then
right.
I'd be cool,
well,
right?
Well, I mean, mono's pretty hardcore, though. It takes a lot to recover from that.
It knocks you, have you ever had it, Sean?
I never had it, but I had some friends that had it, and they were down for weeks.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Drew had it in high school, right?
Horrible.
Really?
Who gave it to you? Didn't you know about this?
Got it.
You got it, and you were how old?
17.
And you just had to stay home for how long?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Sleep all day.
That would have been awesome.
It was more than sleep all day. It was high fevers and vomiting.
Oh, really?
Swallows. Man. Horrible.
Weird, cheap family.
Get up and walk across the room and you're exhausted.
Oh.
That happened to my
Funny,
friends.
I was thinking about that this morning, that mono episode.
Had a little bell to ring.
I hocked up a fetus at one point during that. And, but I mean, thing with
it had legs.
Like, it was an organism. It started to differentiate into organs. Oh.
And your mom just took care of you?
Yeah.
And what'd they do, bring you homework and stuff from school?
I couldn't do anything. It happened during my senior project. We had like 2 weeks off to do a senior project.
2 weeks off?
Yeah.
How's that work? You just,
I don't
you
know.
Go to school you got for out of
that
2 weeks?
Senior
yeah.
project, though, yeah. didn't you? Yeah.
And yeah, what were you? You're going to build a paper mache hippo or something like anyway, right?
I taught myself to type. That became my senior project.
You did?
Because I couldn't get off out of seat, so I just said, all right,
just sat there with the typewriter in your belly? Nice. I wish I would have got mono in high school.
I wish I would have taught myself how to type.
Yeah. No, if you'd had mono, you'd be able to type.
No, I'm all one digit, man. All around.
It's so fun. I don't even use my fingers. I'm not even at that point. I use my nose and my penis. And it takes a long time
it's
to
not
get from
your scrotum.
On my scrotum, I just rest my scrotum on there, and all of a sudden, just clump numbers and signs and letters come up. Uppercase, lowercase. It's a mess. Spell check. Oh, smoke starts coming out of the thing. All right. What are we doing here, Drew?
Taking calls. Here we go.
So, no drinking if you had.
Did he have another question there? It looks like this. Matt's sort of
Matt?
Alcoholic evolution.
I got
here.
One more question. What about pot? Yeah. Is it the same thing?
No, pot, but Matt, you're
pot's cool. If you have mono, right?
Yeah, pot, Matt, you're an alcoholic addict in progress here. You're gonna have to deal with this, buddy.
Oh, yeah, just remember, I'm just saying,
you're on your way, Matt. You're on your way.
Okay.
I know it seems like nothing.
He already has the I'm talking as the same time the authority figure is talking.
Right.
That's one of the key alcoholic components. All right, let's talk to Christy, who's 16. Christy?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, great. Tomorrow night on Life as We Know It, Sean's going to do this thing where he raises his brow.
For you.
The right eyebrow.
The right brow. Which is about the only thing I can do, by the way. You know, I can do my right brow, too.
But you can't get the left, can you?
I can only do left.
I've tried to do the left, and I just can't seem to get it.
Yeah, let's see. Drew does the left. Yeah. But now you can do the middle. Can you do the middle?
Mm-hmm.
You're going down. Can you go up? Yeah, but that's both. Can you lean them up?
No.
All right. And you can do the right. Now, why not? Now, but Sean, you're right-handed?
Yes.
Drew, you're right-handed. Mm-hmm. And I'm left-handed, but I can only do my right. So you see nothing.
Nothing.
All right, Christy, go ahead.
Oh, first I wanted to tell you, Dr. Drew, I love your book, Cracked. I got it for like 10 people for Christmas. I absolutely love it.
That's so kind of you, Christy. Thanks.
Yeah. Anyway, my question is, can you get an STD from swallowing semen?
Yeah, you can get an STD just from giving a blowjob without swallowing the semen, but the more dangerous ones are from the semen itself, the viral transmitted, like HIV, hepatitis, that can get into the esophagus and be absorbed there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to wear a condom.
Yeah, that's the idea. I know the Trojan is working on a flavored condom they're going to bring out next year.
I thought they already had flavored condoms.
Well, they're trying to come out with something that's like superior.
Yeah, something that everyone's going to love.
This
isn't
like that cool mint crap. This is like these are dinner type
strawberry,
things. These are like
cherry,
brisket,
like
liver and onion brisket.
Things like that. Imagine you're getting a BJ and your dog just jumps out and starts devouring your penis. Knocks your girlfriend out of the way and just then the dog runs away with your penis and you have to put a strainer on the toilet and put him over the toilet to get your penis back.
I try to get where there's a pan-seared sea bass. I really like that. We're trying to work on that.
Pan-seared. We got new poached potatoes. We got a seared ahi-ahi. Choice of sides. And you're like, could I get the Caesar? No substitutions. I like to know. I like when they won't substitute. All right. So Christy.
Yeah.
Be careful, kiddo.
Be careful. Who, what do you got going on? You got a boyfriend?
Yeah, I have a boyfriend. He's 17.
All right. And does he have any venereal diseases?
I hope not. I don't think so.
All right. You're probably okay. Is he treating you well?
Hmm? Oh, yeah. Great. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right, so tomorrow night, Sean's going to give the brow raise, okay?
I can't wait. Thanks,
Adam. That's just for you.
That'll be just for you, baby.
What would it be? She lives in Palm Desert. That must be a weird place to be a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot
there
to
with
do,
octogenarians,
huh?
And it's too hot in the summer to go outside.
Well, you can go down to Hadley's and get a date shake. I don't know. Isn't that where Palm Desert is?
It's on the way to Las Vegas.
Oh, Palm Desert on the way.
That's in Palm Springs. It's on the outskirts of Palm Springs.
What is? Hadley's is on the outskirts.
On the way to Vegas, though.
No, on the way to Palm Springs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Look it up. Give me a date shake.
You know where they go is the outlet stores.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big hangout.
And you can go to Sonny Bono's restaurant. I mean, it's huge. Do a little driving. Yeah, I don't know. And it's like 100. The idea, the people that live in the places that get over 117 in the summer, mm-hmm. it's just unfathomable mm-hmm. to me. Like Jimmy lived in like Tucson, mm-hmm. Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Palm Springs.
He's just attracted to the heat.
Well, he's a svelte guy with no hair.
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't sweat or anything.
Lean. Yeah, long appendages. He's built like an aborigine. Yeah. Or is he pasty and hairy?
Fire hydrant.
I know. Like, what are you trying to do? Melt yourself?
Cook your innards?
Everyone's whole thing is like, yeah, you're just gonna take a, you're gonna pit steam. It's just,
wouldn't you think he'd go
evaporating?
Yeah, yeah. I think he'd Milwaukee or something. I mean, what?
Well, some of it had to do with radio but yeah. Not really. Not the Vegas and the Tucson part or the Phoenix part.
Sheesh.
But I mean, we took a bus. We chartered a bus to go to Vegas in the for Cousin Sal's bachelor party in like August or something. Stopped at a Wendy's, you know, outside a Baker or something. Got out of the bus. And I started running around like an ant that had a magnifying glass over it. I was like, what's going on? What's going on? I started hiding. I started seeking shelter because there must be some source of this heat. I'm standing by a huge exhaust duct or something. I felt like I was staying. Maybe it's coming out of the bus.
Right.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
That's what you got.
I drove out to Palm Springs in my Jeep once with the top off, and it was like driving in a sauna.
Oven, yeah.
And I was just, you know, it's like you had a blow dryer on you the whole way there.
I don't understand the folks that, you know, live in the places where there's, you know, 40 inches of rain every year either, but I understand that more than the people, you know, and it's always the same thing. It's like, you get used to it.
They commit suicide. Wait a minute, and they get hooked on heroin.
Seattle, Tucson.
All right, Seattle.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're always like, yeah, you know, you get used to it. It's like, you could take both legs off at the knee. I would eventually, I would get used to it. But why?
It's
why?
Just depressing.
Why do it? Yeah. All right. Wait till you step on a landmine. Don't do it willfully. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
But you and I both have this thing about the heat.
Yeah, we don't like heat. All right. Let's take a break. Where's Palm? Where's Palm Desert on the way to Palm Springs?
No, it's past it, kind of.
Oh, it's past it.
Yeah,
past it. Yeah, but Palm Springs is the home of the California date.
Stop over at Hadley's, have a nice date shake. have you had?
They're good.
Oh man,
yeah, they're good.
Yummy, yeah, they're good. Yummy.
Not as you would think, though, getting out there and all that heat, though, would turn into like foamy, nasty.
Yeah, it's date runny shake.
Yeah.
It's not a very thick one, huh?
No, it'll thin out in the sun, but nice. Not as nice as that Eva Longoria, though, by the way. That's hot. All right, let's take a little break here. Sean Ferris from Life as We Know It, 8 o'clock on ABC, and we'll be right back after this. Yeah, it's Loveline, madam. That's Dr. Drew. Will Sasso is coming in here tomorrow night from Less Than Perfect. And you remember him from Mad TV all those years. Funny guy. Haven't seen him in a while. Sean Ferris here tonight from Life as We Know It, Thursday nights, 8 o'clock on ABC. All right, you ready to keep going?
Here we go.
We're going to speak to Melissa, who's 25. Melissa?
Hello?
Hey, hello?
Hi.
What's happening?
Hi, Dr. Drew. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Melissa.
I was just listening.
Wait, say hi to Sean.
Hi, Sean. Sorry.
Hi, Melissa. It's all right. Don't worry about it.
Tomorrow night on the show, Sean's going to lift his right eyebrow.
That's and it's
gonna
just be for you.
You're cute. Wow. Orgasm. Yeah, that's just for you. Yeah. What's up?
I was listening to a girl that you talked to a couple girls ago about childhood trauma, and that's what you're attracted to in a man when as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, I mean, is it trauma specific? Because
well, no, it's not, because all women between about 18 and 22 have a phase where they go for guys that are sort of a-holes.
Could be 18 and 26.
Yeah, it can be a little strung out, longer stretched out for some women, and yeah. It can start later for some women, but most women do go through a phase where they have to get sort of a fill of a-holes.
But there's a-holes sort of, you know, cool guys who have a BS ramp.
Yeah,
who
the whole bad guy routine.
We can see right through, and then right. There's the guys that's beating the crap out of you. That's a different guy, you know, but... There's not a woman alive that doesn't like a guy who's a little bit dangerous, a little bit aloof, a little bit mysterious.
Keeps them on their toes.
That's right.
Right. And I've been just trying to figure out, because I was with someone for a good amount of years and turned out that he was just had issues, just had problems. And
like what? What do you mean? What was happening?
Well, I didn't know it, but I guess for a while he was doing drugs behind my back and cheating on me.
You know what? That doesn't make him an a-hole. That makes him an addict.
Yeah. Well, no, wait. And then it just partly due to the drugs, although when he claimed to be sober as well, he was abusive.
Mm-hmm.
Once, but twice, I think, out of the whole amount of years.
Physically abusive, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I don't know. Right. I, you know,
still, listen, this is not a pattern of you being attracted to assholes. This is you getting attached to an alcoholic and hanging in with it.
Right, and that part I understood, because my father is a recovering alcoholic addict.
Right.
Many years sober in AA.
There you go.
All that stuff. So I understood that, but I never grew up seeing any kind of abuse.
No, Melissa, you're making my point for me. This is not, you are not someone who's attracted to abusive a-holes. You are someone who's attracted to alcoholic addicts. And because you're codependent, you get in, you become, you sort of dismiss the behaviors, you enable it in some way, and alcoholism addiction will progress, and they often become violent and nutty, and that's part of the addiction part.
But
that's not you being attracted to the asshole.
She's not making your point in her mind, because what she's saying is she never saw her dad in that state.
He was not abusive to my mom or me.
But Melissa, you're not hearing me. You're not hearing me. Part of the evolution of addiction is...
Consider yourself lucky, by the way. I got to sit here and hear them all the time.
Is chaos and violence. It's not that you're attracted to that. You're attracted to the addiction. And if you hang in with an addict long enough, if they progress far enough, they will get this way.
All right. So the point is you did break up with him?
Yeah, but there's...
Okay.
The main reason I'm calling is because there's still that urge in me, even after the months it's been...
Yes.
It's like I dismiss the bad stuff for some reason.
Al-Anon. Melissa, Al-Anon. Got to go to Al-Anon. Got to get a sponsor. Got to work the steps. You must change internally, or you're going to keep, just like the person who's attracted to the abusive guys, you're going to continue to be attracted to the alcoholic addicts.
And every guy that never got fixed becomes Moby Dick to women. Underline the dick part, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Guys don't have that. Guys don't have the, I must fix her, I must change her. And for a woman, I think it almost feels like a failure sometimes. Like you got this project and you failed. And then it's the one that got away. It's the game they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And it like the high school quarterback who loses the championship game. They just think about it for the rest of their career.
It's making dad right once and for all. It's the love and attachment they feel for dad. That's who they love. That's the kind of person they love. The addiction and stuff only intensifies the need for attachment.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to get out of it.
You know, do you think the good people of Washington, D.C. are going to get more out of the accordion than this kind of general discourse we have? Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm listening. I'm thinking. I'm trying to decide. I'm weighing it out.
Yeah.
It's a hard call.
It is tough. Yeah. Sean, what do you think?
They made their choice, yeah.
Right. Yes, Sean?
I'm actually really curious about... I've noticed that generally guys, whenever they find a girl that they like, they want to keep, they want her to stay exactly the way she is.
Right.
Girls find a guy that they like, and then they want to change the little certain things about them to just make them their perfect guy.
Yeah.
And I've seen it over and over again.
Here's what it is. They want Tom Cruise and Cameron Crowe in the same guy. I mean Tom Hanks and Cameron Crowe in the same guy. And those are mutually exclusive human beings. They do not exist in the same male.
Wait a minute. You got your Cameron Crowe, and your who?
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks? Why are they so different?
I think, who am I thinking of?
Man? Oh, you, I think you're thinking of the guy.
I'm thinking of Tom Hanks.
Yeah, you think of Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
Okay.
Russell
Crowe. Because I speak fluent, yes. Drew.
Thank you.
And I speak some car.
Yes. And that's all. Those are very closely related languages.
Yeah, because unfortunately, Cameron Crowe and Tom Hanks are about the same guy.
Yeah, Russell Crowe. You want Russell Crowe.
You want Russell Crowe. Swashbuckling, drunken, brawling, yes. Punch out the paparazzi.
And Tom E-man. Hanks. And the same guy.
Yes.
You want to take the Russell Crowe and convert him into a Tom Hanks.
That's right.
That's their impulse.
That's what you want to
do. Can't
it,
do that.
Is it something
can't.
To do with that? Or is it just... Is it
they're attracted to this sort of alpha male qualities, but they can't live with it. So they right. got to get it, and they got to hold on to it, and then convert it into something that's livable.
Really, for guys, if it was a car sort of thing, it's like they want a Ferrari that is essentially a Camry.
Exactly.
They want the excitement. Right. They want the high revving. They want the performance. They want to turn heads and everything. But they don't want to deal with the breaking down. They don't want to deal with the cost of maintenance. Yeah. They don't want to deal with all this stuff. So once they do get the Ferrari finally landed, well, the Ferrari is going to cheat. Mm-hmm. On you yeah. with your friend, the Ferrari's going to come home drunk. Mm-hmm. The Ferrari's going to make these announcements. Look, you don't like it? Get out! You know, that kind of stuff. So if we can slowly turn that guy into a Camry, then we got the Ferrari with the Camry which reliability.
Oftentimes they do.
And the only way that works is if the Ferrari gets fat and starts losing hair. And eventually gets fat and he just starts losing hair and he's like, screw it. He starts getting high levels of circulating behaving. Estrogen starts and stuff behaving. Like that. And he starts behaving like
yeah,
a Camry.
That's good.
But then... he starts looking like a Camry, too. It's not the Ferrari.
Feeling like a Camry.
And feeling like a Camry. All right.
Here
we go. Where are we talking about cars?
That we're Camrys. No, we feel like Camrys.
What are you? I see you as a beige Taurus wagon
no,
with an AM radio.
Oh, no. Come on.
Yeah.
Please.
Maybe an 8-track.
Where does the passion fit in that?
Oh,
yeah. You got to leave room for the passion.
Who rapes well, smaller cars?
Actually, if you put him in a wagon, he's got room in the back.
That's right. Fold that seat down.
We're going to break.
We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Well, that's the show. Life as we know it, 8 o'clock on Thursday nights, ABC. Sean, God love you. God bless you.
Hey, thank good you luck. Guys for having me on the show. It was a pleasure.
I expect big things out of this kid, Drew.
Expect.
Keep
he's already
an
there.
Eye out. Keep
well,
an eye out.
I mean bigger. No.
Continued big things.
Continued big things. No, but I'm talking about like Tom Cruise
huge
type
things. All right.
Success.
Huge things. All right.
Or she would say Cameron Diaz type of success or whatever. Whoever the hell you are. Jim Crow type of success. Here's the point. Don't cop an attitude with us, you know, when you're, you know, Mr. Box Office
I'm
all that friend.
Kind
you
of
come
guy,
back.
Man.
You remember where you started.
Hey, I'd be more than happy to come back on.
Get Eva Longoria to come in with you next time, too.
No, is that my ticket in?
No, but it's going to help. Yeah. It's going to help. We'll take a little 22-hour break, and until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I'm doing the eyebrow for you, honey.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.